to the Tap Touch Punters Pal podcast. It's David Short and Taylor Courtland with you on this Friday. How do you do, TC?
Going well, Shorty. Going well. Punters Pal recording. Always a good time.
Yeah, a lot of fun each and every Friday, catching up and going through the weekend of sport and racing ahead of us. We kick off, as we do each and every week, with what we have taken away from the last 7 days. Well, I may be biased, no doubt about it, but last Monday, watching Kansas City take on the Buffalo Bills, and it was the Bills and Josh Allen who completely dominated the contest. Loved their work, loved what I saw there, and I'm happy early in the season to stamp off Buffalo as legit contenders, TC.
Not much of an argument from me from that end, Shorty. I think we spoke about it last week. They were right on the doorstep. They were knocking on the door, and we just said if they can go to Kansas City and put up another big performance, so I think we can lower that stamp, open the door, and let them into the big dogs' conversation. And they blew that door off the hinges. They were outstanding, put up 38 points. Yeah, no argument from me there. They're legit. They have a high-caliber MVP candidate throwing the ball around the field as well in Josh Allen.
Yeah, he was clinical, absolutely superb. And the defence held up really well. Going into the game, TC, you nailed it in relation to that being a great overs game, which was covered comfortably in the end. But it was the defence of Buffalo that really stood up and made it particularly hard for Patrick Mahomes to get any momentum into the offence for the Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely. The Chiefs are leaving themselves a little bit too much to do on offence. They just need to score on every possession because, as we saw there on Monday night, was it Tuesday night? Monday night, that the opposition are just scoring far too easily against the Chiefs at the moment. So a few question marks around them as they went into the season as the Super Bowl favourites. What I learnt this week, Shorty, 1,000 Guineas, as we know for a very long time, was run on the Wednesday of the Caulfield Cup Carnival. And I think after this week, it needs to stay there. I love the week feel. It's a big carnival. We have Group 1 racing Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. Then we bounce into the Cox Plate Carnival, which includes Group 1 racing Friday, Saturday. And then we're into Melbourne Cup week. As we know, that's a massive week as well. So month of racing, we're able to really keep it on the front page, so to speak, of the sporting news headlines at this time of the year. And I love the Group 1 on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I agree. I liked it. And it does just give it more of a carnival feel with the Wednesday thrown in. You get the three meetings thrown into the 1 week, and it makes for really, really exciting viewing for the punters. And hats off, Caulfield. I've enjoyed it, and I'm sure I'll continue to enjoy it tomorrow there for Caulfield Cup Day. What are we looking forward to? For me, it's the T20 World Cup. Gets underway Sunday night with a few of the minnows sort of playing up against each other to get the final couple of spots to go into the T20 World Cup. Australia's campaign kicks off next Saturday night. They take on South Africa there. Aussies 175. South Africa 205. We'll have a little look at the markets and some of the key plays going into next week. At the moment, we're a little bit limited with some of our markets, but we will have more up as we get closer to the tournament getting underway there next week. And we'll certainly have some plays for the punters to get involved with as we get a bit closer to the T20 World Cup getting underway. Top run scorer for the tournament, Aussies, is up now. Finch 360, Warner 385, Mitch Marsh 550, Steve Smith 550, Glenn Maxwell $6. So would like to see what the Aussie batting lineup's going to look like, but my initial thoughts are that Maxwell and Marsh are the two guys that have played in these conditions recently, in form and can do well. So the $5.50 and $6 available about them certainly appeals to me from a early punting perspective goes. And wickets wise, Stark 288, Cummins $4, Hazelwood 5, Zampa 5, Agar 859, Richardson. A Zampa in these spinning conditions will be playing all games, I'd suggest. And on what I saw in those IPL semi-finals the other night, spin bowling is very hard to get away. Thinking the $5 on offer about him might prove to be a decent bet as well. So they'd be my early bets with these team markets that are up for Australia in the T20 World Cup. Looking forward to looking at the tournament in more depth next Friday, TC.
I'm also looking forward to another competition getting underway, Shorty. The NBA tips off on Wednesday, 7:30 in the morning at WA time, the Brooklyn Nets head to Milwaukee to take on the defending champs, the Bucks, and then at 10 a.m. WA time, the Warriors and Lakers clash to open the season. So looking forward to those games getting underway. There's been a fair bit of cackle around a few stars, and we'll say they're being high maintenance, to put it politely, in Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving at the moment. But look through some of the outright markets there with Tab Touch. There's not a lot of fat around just at the moment. So I do like the Brooklyn Nets with a healthy James Harden and Kevin Durant going through the season to win the title. But they're currently the NBA championship favourites at 330. Not a lot of fat there. The Lakers on the second line of betting at 475. A few question marks over that roster just for mine. They'll need a lot to go right with their age, because if they are forced to play a lot of regular season games and not get a lot of rest during the season, come playoff time, whether or not they're able to make a significant run deep into the playoffs at their top, just a small question mark around that for mine. Maybe a Kevin Durant at $8 for the MVP early on interests me, but there's a lot of water to go under the bridge before we can really get stuck in there. I think he's in for a massive year, Kevin Durant, after what we saw at the Olympics.
Oh, he's a star, absolute superstar, KD. One thing I will say, Kyrie's been out there in the marketplace suggesting that he's doing his own research into COVID.
Well, he also thinks the world's flat, Shorty. So
he's doing his own research into COVID. I'd have thought that maybe he'd leave that up to the health professionals as an NBA basketballer. But
some people say professional athletes have a lot of time on their hands. That's probably a number one example of that.
I think that's a very good point that you raised, TC. Look, the man can flat out play basketball, but I think we've got some different ideas when it comes to what might be happening in the world right now. We all need to just get on with it. Go and get jabbed up and let's move on. He's potentially going to cost his side some significant momentum and put extra pressure on their key big men. And as you just touched on, it might be deep in the season that wear and tear could show and leave them a little bit vulnerable. So it's time. When you play team sport, you have to do the team thing. And at the moment, it doesn't appear to be that he's thinking too much about his teammates. And he's
better off without him.
Almost, you know what? It's a really interesting point. It's almost to the point now where you'd be prepared as a franchise to just about pay it out and say, good luck in the future. But we need to have an outfit that are prepared, committed, and everyone's on the same page. And at the moment, he's not on the same page to his teammates. Welcome back to the Tab Touch Punters Pal podcast. This is one of my favourite racing weekends on the calendar, TC. We've got the Group 1 Caulfield Cup. We've got the Everest taking place, of course, at Randwick tomorrow, the richest race in this nation. And, of course, locally, bumper day of racing to look forward to out there at Ascot, headlined by the race that pays tribute to one of our all-time greats in Northerly. And at this time of year, doesn't it bring back some wonderful memories of some of the phenomenal performances from Northerly in the classics? Let's go straight to the feature out here at Ascot tomorrow, the Group 3 Crown Perth Northerly Stakes over the 1,400 metres, scratching of number 8 Uni Time. And the market here has Western Empire at $2.80. Was a wonderful preparation last time in. Now a four-year-old, took out the JC Roberts Mel Vista and WATC Derby prior to going for a spell. It's had a couple of nice trials in the build-up to this, TC. 275 on opening, scratching of Uni Time as well, out to 280. Hasn't exactly been smashed in betting early, but when you look through the rest of the market, there haven't been... Well, there's one horse in particular that stands out as very popular at odds, and that is Dance Music, who's been 10 into 650. But Massimo, 6 and firm. Vela Road, 7 into 650. Dance Music, the big mover, 10 to 650. Regal Power, 9 to 11. Platoon, 10 to 12. Naughty by Nature, 18 and firm. KC, 21 to 19. Last of the Line, 21 to 20. Taxigano, 34 to 31. Vital Silver, 51 to 34, has been specced at longer odds, as has Newfbosk, 51 into $41. Does Western Empire return a winner at the head of the market?
I think so. Not overly keen to jump into the 280 shorty from my perspective. I think it's a wide open race, but it's hard not to be impressed by those recent trials of Western Empire. You spoke about taking out those three-year-old classics including a WA Derby, you might have thought he might come back a little bit dour and be looking for a trip this preparation. But those trials, he's been awfully sharp. He's, albeit clearly, a different race tempo compared to a trial, but he has been able to sit close to the speed with a scratching of Uni Time. Comes into gate number four. So if he can settle close to them, there is a westerly forecast for Ascot on Saturday. So those horses coming towards the middle of the track with a little bit of cover down the back straight might be advantaged, and that's exactly where Western Empire is going to be. But can understand the money for Dance Music trying to speed map this race. It doesn't look a lot of tempo. Dance Music probably hits the fence first, and then Massimo and CJP have a decision whether they push on and want to lead or sit outside Dance Music, and Dance Music might be able to control this, who's also trialed very well in preparation for her first up assignment. So yes is the long-winded answer to your question, Shorty. I think West Empire does. If we can get maybe north of $3, that is more attractive betting proposition for mine.
What do you make of the money for Dance Music? She's a talented mare. She's won 2 of 5 fresh, coming in off a couple of trials at Lark Hill, both over the 950 metres behind Western Empire.
Probably the speed map horse that looks to be your leader in the race and maybe get a nice time of it. So I can understand that 10 into 650 money.
Alrighty, other feature race on the program tomorrow at Ascot is race number 7, the Furphy RS Crawford Stakes, listed level over the 1,000 metres. Money's been strong here. Indian Pacific opened at 4, now into 350. Stageman has gone the other way, 360 out to 390. Elite Street 4 to 460. Flirtini 8 out to 850. Riverbow 9 and firm. Mervyn 11 to 12. Rock Magic 12 and firm. What a wonderful old campaigner. Now a 12-year-old Rock Magic. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be ruling out Rock Magic running a decent race and indeed in the winter bottom in what appears to be the farewell preparation for this wonderful old horse. He's amassed $1.68 million in prize money, 16 wins and 17 placings from his 60 starts. Oh, he's been a real favourite of mine, TC. Great to see him back at the races tomorrow. Caracapo 21 to 26, Bams on Fire 26 to 34, and Don't Fuss 34 and firm.
Much more comfortable about taking the price in the Crawford, about the favourite Indian Pacific for mine. That has did have a trial late July and then early August in preparation for one run there at Belmont in the Belmont Newmarket. Had to carry 61.5 on that occasion. I thought it was outstanding, being beaten half a length by Samizdat. There is a small query over the 1,200 for mine in a really fast run. 1,200 metres about Indian Pacific, and sort of was cut up a touch there in that Belmont Newmarket. I thought the performance was outstanding. Freshened up, 1,000 metres. The trial since late September, late last month, was outstanding in very quick time around the Belmont 1,000 metre circuit. 1,000 at Ascot. We know he leaves the gates very quickly from gate number 9. Should be able to get across and sit outside Mervyn, as he did in this race last year, and was able to get over the top of Mervyn late. I see a similar scenario playing out, and at 350, I think one of the better bets on the program there at Ascot in the Crawford Stakes, race 7, number 2, Indian Pacific, on his way to playing a major part in a Winterbottom Stakes later on in the carnival.
There you have it. A bit of confidence about from our man Taylor Cortland with Indian Pacific to take out the listed Furphy RS Crawford Stakes tomorrow at Ascot. Who else do you like on the program, TC?
We'll head back to race number 4, Shorty, and a horse on the 7-day backup is Rebel Knight from gate number 1. I think it's a perfect run. Another race where there doesn't look to be a lot of speed, maybe Carrageenie Aurora with Willie Pike on from gate 6 comes across, and then Star Align from gate number 8 may not have any other choice but to come across and sit outside the lead. Rebel Knight should be cosy, in behind, on the back of the leader, get every chance, and despite being beaten 3 lengths by Mr. Delegator, they ran a good tempo in that 66-plus last preparation. Gets a little bit of weight relief going up in grade, 1,600 metres. Typically is a horse that does like to find a second placing, but at 480 and 165, hopefully a little bit closer to start time, we'll get an each-way quote, and I think it's a nice each-way bet. Race 4, number 5, Rebel Knight for Chris Parnham. Gate 1 should get all the favours. And then also, I think, horse on the up and up, race 5, No spoil with the odds at $1.85, but number 6, Sprightly Starts. Hard not to be impressed with that win last start, albeit in a class 1 at Northam. Blew that field away, won by almost 2.5 lengths. Gate number 2 looks to get a very similar run in the first 4. They should run along at a decent enough tempo with Celebrity Witness out in front for Joey as a party. Sprightly Star showed a great turn of foot, has signalled high potential, was running 1,000 guineas at career start, just number 3 last preparation, and was a good run on that occasion as well. So flagged potential early on, second preparation now, 4-year-old mare should be about ready to hit her top, and expect her to be winning there at Ascot on Saturday, race 5, number 6, 1 for the Maltese.
Indeed, 205 into 180. The punters have not forgotten to back Sprightly Star since this market did open up. And you make a really good point. That performance went fourth in the 1,000 guineas behind Brave Angel, beaten less than 2.5 lengths. Really nice effort. Looks to have come back bigger, better, stronger, and absolutely blew them up there first up at Northam, as TC alluded to, winning by tick under 3 lengths. Looked to have plenty more left under the bonnet. Pretty handy combination, Grant and Alana Williams and William Pike. Nice draw as well. Barrier 2 ticks a lot of the boxes. Plenty of punters agreeing. Race 5, number 6, Sprightly Star. Just the one play for me tomorrow out there at Ascot. Comes up in race 6, number 2, in Triple Missile. Returns fresh here. This fellow, he's had the 4 career starts, 3 wins in a second. He's 2 for 2, first up in the past. He stretched the legs out in a recent trial there at Lark Hill over the 950 metres behind Vedette De Star, who it opposes here on race day. Brad Rewilla takes the ride. I've liked everything I've seen so far from Triple Missile, lightly raced, only having had the 4 career starts. But he's a winner. I like backing winners, horses that generally run well fresh, normally maintain that consistency through their career. I think that'll be the case with Triple Missile tomorrow. Race 6, number 2, Triple Missile. The one sole bet for me tomorrow around that $2.15 quote. It'll make it into a couple of my multis. Let's head across to Caulfield. It's Group 1 Caulfield Cup Day. Worth noting as well, punters, there is a lovely first 4 carryover of 323,000 tipping in here, and the pool expected to be well north of $2 million. Let's have a look at the market. Incentivised, looking to make it 9 straight victories here. 245,000. As big as 265, now back into 260. Delphi, 6 out to 950. Young Werther, 10 and firm. Nonconformist, 9 out to 10. The Chosen One's been backed early, 15 to 13. Explosive Jack, the Derby Guru, 17 into 14. Montefilia, 16 into 15. She's been a favourite of yours, and she was very good taking out the Metrop over the 2,400 metres last time out there for a really good trainer, a man I've got a lot of respect for in David Payne, and she comes in really fit and has a decent chance at really big odds. Duace, of course, was a winner on Wednesday of the Coonji there, and steps up to the 2,400 from 2,000 metres, but won well earlier on in the week on the quick backup. Master of Wine, 34 into 21, has been backed at odds. Persan, 34 to 26, has been backed at odds. Homesman, 31 to 34, she's ideal. 51 to 34 is a galloper that has been backed at odds from the Bjorn Baker yard. This daughter of Done Deal has the shades going on for this assignment, and they're specking to suggest that she could give a bit of cheek. She was beaten a tick over 3 lengths behind Montefilia in that recent performance there at the Metrop when finishing midfield. Great House, 41 to 61. Chapada, 41 to 71. Port Guillaume, 41 to 71. All other runners, 81 and upwards. Incentivised, TC. Look, I'm landing on Incentivised. I think it's pretty hard to knock holes in the form of this fellow. He was just different gravy up in Queensland through the winter. You wondered whether or not that will measure up. Well, we've since seen 2 performances for this campaign. In the Maccabi Diva over the mile, was a really nice effort first up fresh. Second up in the Turnbull was taken on and still had the audacity to just keep on finding. I think he's legit. I think this horse is the real deal, and I think that's why he'll be winning the Caulfield Cup tomorrow. I think he can make it 9 straight wins. Peter Moody will have the horse Cherry Ripe peaking tomorrow for Incentivise, and I do expect him to take a fair bit of stopping. Be interesting tactically how the race pans out. Brett Prebble's got a few decisions to make early from barrier 20. Generally, though, we've seen Incentivise as a horse that's got that very good gate speed, can put itself up on top of the tempo. And from there, the big question mark will be, can you be on top of the speed for 2,400 metres and give a kick at the top of the home straight at Caulfield? That'll be the key.
Exactly right, Shorty. Probably gate number 20 clearly gets you a better price if you want to back Incentivise, but maybe makes it a little bit easier for the other jockeys to make Incentivise work to the top and maybe have to do a little bit too much. No strong push for me. Maybe something small each way, non-conformist. He's been good to me. The horse drops down to 51.5 kilos. Gate number 16, I'd say probably a little bit more tricky for him than it is barrier 20 for Incentivise, because non-conformist is going to need to find some cover throughout the run just to make sure he runs out a strong 2,400 metres. But you don't see these short price favourites in a Caulfield Cup too often, but certainly, as you said, Incentivise has earned that tag. If you are looking to play that first four jackpot, make sure that the horses you include in that first four can handle a wet track, because looking at the radar around lunchtime on Friday there in Melbourne, there is a heap of rain falling there at the moment, so I don't think the track will be close to good at all.
How rain affected can this surface be? I speak namely of one horse that I don't actually have on my list, but I'll declare it point blank. If this rain arrives and the track deteriorates into the heavy range, there will be a star bet on this program, and that is in race 7, the Tristark Stakes, Colette. She is different gravy.
I don't think it's out of the possibilities that it's a heavy track. There could be, from lunchtime until the end of Friday, I think there was talk of around almost 20 mils, upward of 20 mils falling around the Caulfield area.
All right. Well, bear it in mind, punters, if you wake up tomorrow morning and the news is through that we are operating on a heavy surface, I'll be chips in Colette. She's a superior wet tracker to nearly any other horse I've seen in recent years. She's magnificent, just swims through it. She's a class act. She's had a couple of runs back from a break now, third up for the preparation. She's not a first or second up mare. We've said this all along with her. She's had 8 starts first up for just the 1 win and 2 seconds, but overall 18 for 6 and 3. So you break that down, 10 starts third up or deeper into the preparation, 6 wins and a second. And heavy, 3 starts, 3 wins. Soft, 4 starts, 2 wins and a second. If it's sort of deep into the soft or early into the heavy, yes, please. Just fill your boots, punters. Colette loves it, absolutely loves it. And it sounds like the conditions may well be put on for her tomorrow. This Group 2 level up against their own sex. I'm getting more and more bullish the more you're talking about that rain, TC. So it wasn't there on my list initially, but I can tell you right now, my personal play, if that rain's there, will be Colette Strong. I'll be very, very bullish to be getting involved. Other nice bets on the program. Race 2, number 1, Vianello is the first of them. Model of consistency, this girl. She's had the 10 career starts, 1 win, 5 placings. Last time out behind Queen of Dubai, beaten a length and a half. Look, she brings some strong form lines into this particular event and looks to be a great opportunity for her to return to the winner's list. Race 2, number 1, Vianello. Then deeper into the card, race 8, number 2, in Varda. Damien Lane takes a steer here, second up for the preparation, 5 tries, second up, 2 wins and a second. Goes really well over this trip where it's had 8 starts for 5 wins and a second. And I'm very, very keen that Damien Lane will give Varda a lovely run in transit. And
another horse. We're happy if it gets into the heavy range too, Shorty.
3 for 3 from the heavy region punters. So, the Blue Army will be getting some of mine here as well. Don't worry if we're in that heavy range tomorrow morning. So that's going to be a very interesting track report. I'll be getting up nice and early, TC. I'll be listening to previews from about 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, because the early bird gets the worm. If the mail's through first thing, the great man Gareth Hall, he'll be up nice and early giving us that info. It'll be right here on TAB Radio tomorrow, where we take that live feed from RSN. If that news is through heavy and deteriorating, Varda and Collette become a wonderful all-up. And at the current price, you're looking around about $12.
I'll have to send you some money, Shorty, because it's a Saturday. I won't be up at 5, but if you're up before me, I'll get you to put the ticket on for me as well.
Okay, happy to play there. I think that is a really nice double if the rain arrives. And it's a little speculative, given that it's lunchtime Friday and tomorrow we're 24 hours from race day, but on what we just heard from TC, particularly the region that rain is falling at the moment, it is scope for that track to get to that range. And if it does, those two gallopers that we've just identified become wonderful bets. The other of my bets is race 10, number 10, Curran. Now, Curran is a horse that I've had a bit of luck with on the way through. I really like the way this guy goes about his business. He never runs a bad race. He's had 9 career starts, 4 wins, 3 seconds. When he's missed, he hasn't been far away. He's finished 5th in those races, and he wasn't beaten out of sight in either of them. He was only beaten half a length in his most recent performance when 5th in the Creswick behind Free to Move, beaten half a length when 5th on that occasion. All the other forms just been absolutely superb. Fresh 2 starts, has won fresh in the past. First up from a break was a nice performance there at Moonee Valley, zipping around over the 9.55. Steps out to the 1,000 metres here where it's 2 for 2. It's been to the track and raced well. 2 starts for a win and a second. Getting really nice prices to find out as well. $6.50 the win and $2.30 the place. I thought Curran, pretty reliable galloper, could run well for us there in the last around that $6.50 and $2.30.
Just one more to add from my list. I'm with you, Shorty, teaming up with Varda in race 8, number 2, and also teaming up in the 5th, the classic for the 3-year-old boys that are on their way to the Vic Derby, number 6, Gunstock, taken with the run over the 1,800 metres in the superimposed. Jai McNeil's just forced him maybe go a pair or two further back to obtain cover than he would have liked. Hit the line strongly up to the 2,000. Doesn't seem to be any issues whatsoever if we're going on the back of that run at Flemington. The win in, albeit a maiden at Cranbourne, was very impressive over the 1,600 metres first up this campaign when racing wide without cover and then struck a little bit of interference in the run but was still too good. So I think third up, getting fitter from a very informed stable of Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr., this 3-year-old colt where the blinkers go on for the first time in race 5 over the 2,000. Gate number 2, hopefully the track down on the inside there isn't too bad, and around that 3.30 might be a nice price. Race 5, number 6, Gunstock.
Gunstock to be too good for them there in race 5 at Caulfield. There are thoughts there on a stellar day of racing, the Group 1 Caulfield Cup, the feature, and Randwick. More high quality gear here, punters. Just feast into this. This is a ripper 10 race card. We'll go straight to the richest race of the Australian racing calendar year. It is the Everest over the 1,200 metres. Money's been really good for Nature Strip. Market open at 440, now into 370. Classic legend, last year's winner, 4 out to $5. Well documented. The horse went up to Hong Kong, didn't race to its best. It's come back and it's had a few trials. It's hard to know exactly where the horse is at, and the mail from the yard is going to be crucial here as to whether or not Classic Legend is ready to roll heading into this. Lesbridge, I'm sure, will have done everything he can to have this horse ready to fire. But, TC, this is not a race where you can afford to have any hurdles, and there were a few for Classic Legend in the build-up to this race. I love this grey. I love watching him. He's got a little bit of Chautauqua about him, just gets back and really charges to the line. Very exciting galloper. If they go too hot up front and it gets the nice run camped in behind, it can be powering to the line. If it can reproduce that finish from last year, it can be right in the finish again. Eduardo, well, if you like Nature Strip, you've got to give respect to Eduardo. Was able to turn over Nature Strip last time these two met in the shorts over the 1,100 metres, extra 100 metres here. This horse, though, yeah, last preparation, and again this time in, Joe Pride's done a wonderful job with him. Good luck to Neil Pinner and the connections. There's a bit of a link to WA here with Eduardo, and What a mighty campaigner he's proving to be. I'd love to see him win the big race for the team there. G-Tra, 8 into 650. He's been quite well backed. Another horse that you can sort of measure up pretty well up against Nature Strip and Eduardo. There's not a stack between these three, and G-Tra's absolutely in with winning claims. Then we're out to Masked Crusader. To be getting back early and charging to the line. It's been easy to back, 7 to 10. Home Affairs, 11 to 12. The Inferno, 21 into 19, has been specced at longer odds. Lost and Running, 18 to 26. All other runners, 34 and upwards. Glenn Boss spoke to the boys earlier on this morning on the Sports Daily in regards to Home Affairs. He's had success on a three-year-old in this race with Yes, Yes, Yes. And he was pretty clear-cut with his thoughts that he expects this colt to measure up and be very, very cheeky in this race.
It's not like Glenn Boss to be buoyant about his chances going into a big race there, Shorty, but no, he knows the three-year-olds well and how they match up, and clearly Home Affairs since his two-year-old days. Back there in the slipper, ran eighth, was beaten six lengths, but since then has won three trials and was a winner first up with the Heritage at Rose Hill. So you can make the case he's gone to another level, but he's going to maybe need to go to another two or three to be really competitive in this Everest, where it's going to be high pressure with the likes of Nature Strip and Eduardo just running along at a really good tempo out in front. And I've been with Nature Strip all the way through, and I'll stick race 7, number 1, third up last campaign, headed to Randwick over the 1,200 metres on a soft track and won the TJ Smith by two lengths. If he recreates anything like that performance, it'll be awfully hard to beat. Last campaign, he won, ran second, and then won third up. This campaign, he's won first up, ran second up. So hopefully there's somewhat of a pattern there. I trust Chris Waller, as he's shown over the last few campaigns with Nature Strip. When it comes to grand final day, he really knows how to get a peak performance out of this gelding. So I'll stick with Nature Strip just to stalk Eduardo and hopefully be too strong late. But we were able to have a little bit of luck with Classique Legend on this race day last year, Shorty. Being a mighty training performance by Les Bridge, if he was able to get the big grey up and winning first up in a race that we expect to just be run flat out from go to woe, whether or not he'll still have that brilliant turn of foot without any racing under his belt, I'm not too sure. I'm scared of him, but I'm betting around him. Nature Strip on top for mine.
Fair enough. Nature Strip for TC. Yeah, look, it's a tough race in regards to no as exactly how forward Classique Legend is. As I touched on, he's a horse I've got a big, big opinion of. He was wonderful in this race last year, and just not sure how to place him this time around.
Trials have been good, but there's nothing like race fitness.
Exactly. I think Eduardo's right in the mix. I think the fact that it was able to beat Nature Strip last time out lets you know that there's not going to be a pile between those two. Money's been good for the horse too, $8 into $6. If they happen to overcook at Masked Crusader, you know, it'd be really flashing late, like the way this horse has come back, but has been working hard to tack on in his races before finishing, you know, really strong. And the gaps opened at the right time last time out for Tommy Berry, so you'd expect in a race like this with that high tempo that he's going to have to potentially work hard to get into it. Great running of the Everest, really looking forward to it. Look, if you're a Nature Strip fan, I will say days like tomorrow are good days to back the horse. There's often occasions where we've seen him beaten at $1.30, $1.40 on the way through. They're not the days to be backing Nature Strip. Tomorrow, granted, the opposition's good, but you're getting paid, $370 about a horse that's got a better than 50% winning strike rate. Do the maths on that, and it's the right time to be betting. So if you like him, like TC, by all means, get involved and step in. But, great race. Good luck to everyone having a punt on the Everest there tomorrow. Better bets on the program for me. I don't mind the card. Early doors, race 2, number 10, High Supremacy, looks really well placed. Robbie Dole on a board from barrier 1. Last time out, the Silver Eagle was only beaten 1.2 lengths. It was certainly far from disgrace. The run prior in a benchmark 78 was very good. I would expect that from the good draw, High Supremacy is going to take a fair bit of stopping. We then move on to race number three of the day. And this is one of my better bets anywhere around Australia tomorrow. A head start. Resumed from a break when finishing runner-up there at Randwick in September. Was defeated by Leo on that occasion. That's good form for a race like this. I would expect that a head start from a good draw. J-Mac on. A horse that's got a winning habit, 6 starts, 3 wins, 2 placings. The only time that it's finished out of a hole, excuses in the guineas. I'm keen to be with a head start. I think it's set for a really, really good run tomorrow. And around that $3 range looks a ripper bet. Race 3, number 2, a head start. Then moving down to race 9, number 1, Entente. Wow, last run was mighty. I'm a big rap on Montefilia on this program, TC, and Montefilia had to pull out all stops to defeat Entente on that occasion. Narrow margin. Run prior in the Colin Stephen was excellent. He's right on top of his game at the moment, this fellow, and I would expect him to back up off that last start, excellent performance in the Metrop and take all the stopping. He's at a nice price too, around that $3.90 quote. And rounding out the day, race 10, number 1 in Equation. It's big couple of weeks potentially here for the Annabelle Neesham stable. And Equation's a horse that, again, we're teaming up with a horse that's got a winning habit. It's won 4 of 7. Both runs back from a break. There have been excuses. And I think tomorrow, from a nice draw, Brock Ryan, in-form apprentice, brings it down to 59 kilos, and this looks a very, very suitable assignment. Third up, should be ready to fire for me tomorrow. So at Randwick, in recap, race 2, number 10, High Supremacy. The best of them, I think, is race 3, number 2, a head start. Race 9, number 1, Entente. Race 10, number 1, Equation. My plays tomorrow at Randwick, TC.
2 more for me, Shorty, to add along with Nature Stroop starting in race 6. The Sydney Stakes over the 1,200 metres. Stick with the favourite, Big Parade. He's been very good this preparation. One blemish on the card, that was in the Theo Marks. That was on a good track. Bounced back in benchmark 94 grade. Last start there at Randwick. Had to carry 61 kilos on that occasion. Drops at 2.5 kilos. Barrier number 5 should find somewhere near the front. Gets back on soft ground as well, where on soft ground he's yet to miss the top 3. 5 runs for 4 wins. Track and distance, 4 starts for 2 wins. And the distance overall at the 1,200 metres, he's won 6 occasions, been at that trip 9 times. So all the stats read well. The horse is running well. We know how well the deep fields get through the soft ground. So ticks a lot of boxes, will be up there on speed. I will just note, though, Signor Fox, if you've been watching the trials there at Sydney, Signor Fox looks ready for a really big campaign. Doesn't necessarily like getting the toe into the ground, but I expect him to be winning a nice race at some stage this preparation. Hopefully not tomorrow, though. Race 6, number 5, Big Parade at the 360, I think looks a nice price. And as you've spoken about in the last race, Shorty, race 10, it's sort of a race you're in one camp or the other. You're in the Equation camp. I've just gone the other way. Promise of Success, a 6-year-old mare who's had just a 9 starts, so there's obviously been a few issues along the way, but her first up win on the Kensington track over the 1,300 on soft going was just arrogant. Huey Bowman didn't really move, and she rounded up that field, albeit at benchmark 72, fillies and mares grade, with absolute ease. Jumped up in weight 59 on a good track, stayed at the Kensington second up. Wasn't quite as good, was beaten over a length, but back toe into the ground, has an electric turn of foot. Barrier number 7, they're probably getting closer to the outside fence than the inside fence at Randwick by this stage. So I'll stick with the Hugh Bowman, John O'Shea combination in the 10th. Number 8, Promise of Success, to go with 6-5, Big Parade, and 7-1, Nature Strip.
Excellent. Now, TC, what about this for timing? I've just got an email through from our book manager. It does appear that this rain may well be arriving there at Caulfield, because we've just had a bet of $4,000 on Collette at the 245.
Jeez, you were quick there, Shorty.
Yeah, flat out on the numbers there, TC, while we're operating. But $4,000 at the 245, Collette, I'd suggest rain will be coming, and I'd suggest it'll be starting a lot shorter than $2.45 tomorrow.
And chasing?
Chasing. We've got Cannington. A big, big night out at Cannington on Saturday night. It's the start of the road to the Phoenix. Of course, WA with a slot there. The first two runners from next week's All-Stars final will automatically qualify through into deeper into the series. Likewise, with the Young Stars, we'll then have four races where the winner of each of those four races goes through, leaves us with eight. The Saturday after, we have two four-dog races and then a match race between the winner of those two races will determine who races for the WA slot. So exciting times in local chasing out there on Saturday night. We've got a visitor, drawn the pink in race five, number eight, Bones McCoy from New South Wales. Glenn Curry's got the dog here. It's had four starts from box eight. It's won all of them. Loves it. Absolute fairy floss bandit. Race six, number eight, Momentum. Looks a super chance in another of the All-Star heats. Deeper into the card, Cassis Belli's been dominating the staying races of late. That looks set to continue as well. So 5-8, 6-8, 7-5 for me on what is a stellar night of chasing out there at Cannington on Saturday.
Not exactly the best thing for a podcast, Shorty, but my computer screen looking at the rain radar at the moment over Melbourne, there's lots of aqua, blue, yellow and tinges of red just floating over Melbourne at the moment. So yes, that rain's there and it's coming down heavy.
All right, during my lunch break, TC, I might step into a little bit of that double that we did suggest there, Collett and Varda, because the money's starting to come. Sounds like the rain's there, and it could be worth having at the very least a bit of a spec now while we can still get the decent prices, because if they go right off, we'll look back and say, geez, we probably missed the boat a little bit. If at the end of the day, if the track doesn't deteriorate and ends up in that standard range, they're both still really good chances. But if it does, they'll almost probably halve in price, the pair of them.
Well, we better get onto the sports segment very quickly and get this recording done.
Let's get into the sport for this weekend. We have got the IPL final to look forward to. And incredible after stopping and starting with all the drama that that it had with COVID and infected players earlier on in the year. They've got back, and the tournament will be completed this weekend. We've been left with two sides that we cannot split from a betting perspective. It's $1.90 each of two. The Chennai Super Kings take on the Kolkata Knight Riders. It's going to be a really interesting game. Chennai, of course, with MS Dhoni, who was able to steer them home in their most recent final to qualify. The Knight Riders have bounced back strong their last couple of games. And Sunil Nareen, the West Indian, going back two games ago, is one of the best four-over stints of T20 bowling I've seen in my life. He made some excellent players look like absolute amateurs in that particular match. Last game didn't happen for him in similar sort of fashion, but when there are a few more markets open up here, punters, I think we can potentially have a little bit of something on Sunil Nareen off that performance. I would expect that he's a super chance of at least taking a couple of wickets. He's a $3.60 chance to be leading wicket taker for the Knight Riders. For Chennai, Josh Hazlewood, so a bit of WA flavour there. Top run scorer markets for both sides. Guy Quad is a guy that I'm happy to have on top as the leading run scorer for Chennai. He's been in hot form in recent matches, and also more than happy to team up with Shubman Gill as the leading run scorer for Kolkata. He's at 350. So Guy Quad at the 310, Shubman Gill at the $3.50, and most wickets markets very much happy enough to be with Sunil Nareen to get the job done there. So great final in Prospect TC. At 10 o'clock tonight, it'll be all taking place. That clash between the Chennai Super Kings and the Kolkata Knight Riders, $1.90 each of two. I lean towards the Knight Riders to win the game. And at the $1.90, that'll be my small play. But we wish all the very best, anyone having a play there. And, of course, the great MS Dhoni, who got his side Chennai through, likely to be the swan song for MS Dhoni. So I'm sure there'll be a bit of emotion attached to the clash as well. And the T20 World Cup, we touched on some key plays earlier. We'll have a look at some more of those markets next week. What about the NFL, TC? You got a couple of plays for us this week?
The NFL now fraught with danger, so it's not the best way to start a betting segment, is it? But all four sides that I've picked in just a straight head-to-head multi, they're all away from home. So you ask me what could go wrong, and I'll say absolutely nothing.
Perfect.
The Packers to win, Chiefs to win, Cowboys to win and the Bills to win at $4.40. Straight head-to-head. Packers, Chiefs, Cowboys, Bills.
And the price was for...
$4.40.
$4.40 for the NFL multi this week.
For the NFL. And those, just quickly, those markets shorty in the NBA getting underway Wednesday morning. The Nets at $1.87. The Bucks at $1.97. Unveil their championship banner at home. They're the outsiders. And the Golden State Warriors at $2.70. The Los Angeles Lakers at $1.49. With a lot of the other sides getting underway on Thursday morning, WA time, a side to just keep an eye on this year, the Memphis Grizzlies. They might be one of the risers into the playoffs.
Magnificent. Looking forward to the NBA season upcoming. And, of course, the NFL continuing on, T20 World Cup. We've got the NBL just around the corner, the A-League. We've got cricket here locally Friday night, WA in the Marsh One Day Cup, and Shield cricket just around the corner as well. So plenty going on. The sport will roll out, but right for now, racing deserves to be King, TC, and it'll be giving us a lot of joy over the next few weeks as we build up towards the Melbourne Cup. And then, of course, the Tab Touch Masters out there at Ascot. Welcome back to the Tab Touch Punters Pal podcast. Rounding out the program with our lock and rough multi for this week. TC, as we touched on, I think race 3, number 2, a head start there at Randwick. Very hard to beat. I'll go the cowardly way and just take the place for a tomorrow. Race 3, number 2, Sydney, a head start. Your good self?
Ascot, race 5, number 6, Sprightly Star. Impressive first up winner. Expecting the same second up.
There we have it, $2.61. Bang, bang, take a head start. The place into Sprightly Star, the win, $2.61. Our lock play for this weekend. And value-wise, race 10, number 10, Curran, as I touched on, very reliable galloper. He's never run a bad race in his lifetime to this point in time. And he goes around tomorrow in the last there at Caulfield, race 10. Horse number 10, around that $6.50 range. Two for two at the trip track. Two starts for 1-1, and I expect him to run very, very well tomorrow.
I'll go Caulfield Race 8, number 2, Varda. As I look at the screen at the moment, $5 and $2. So we're getting each way, but as we've stressed with the conditions, looking like they're going to be pretty wet there at Caulfield. I think the sooner we bet, the better. Hard to beat Race 8, number 2, Varda.
Yeah, the trim-up could be in play there, punters, so we'll wait and see. But you combine those two together. Race 8, number 2, Varda. Race 10, number 10, Curran. $32.50 the win, $4.60 the place. And the other multi that we are absolutely recommending with the rain playing as it right now is Collette into Varda. And I think as we touched on that that $4,000 bet that's just come through was probably the confirmation that we needed to know that the track conditions are going to be ideal for this girl. She is a superior wet tracker, 3 for 3, 2.45 about her. And I think Varda there, you combine those two together around the 12 buck mark. Looks a very nice multi for Saturday racing. TC, that brings to a close the Tab Touch Punters Pal podcast for another week. Thanks as always for your time. What's on the books for you for this weekend? You're a busy boy?
No, couple of family engagements, so nothing too hectic, and be fully vaccinated as of Saturday morning.
Good man, good man. Yeah, I've got my second jab coming up in the next couple of weeks as well. And well done to you. Good on you, Aussies. No need to be the Kyrie Irving in the room. Just go and get yourself jabbed up and let's move forward as a nation. It's really important that we, particularly for our great friends that are tuned in over in the East Coast, get around it. Let's move on and better times ahead. I can't wait for a time where we can travel over to, you know, Sydney for the Everest and Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup and the Cox Plate weekends and the great sporting events that are on over there. Get right behind it, Australia. Stick fat, do the right thing, and there'll be some good times around the corner. TC, many winners to yourself over the weekend, and to everybody tuned in, thanks as always for your company. Have a wonderful weekend. Go and fill those boots. We'll catch you again this time next week for another edition of the Tab Touch Punters Pal podcast.